Good morning. We're going to pray for Ted as he comes to share with us this morning. Come on over here, Ted. So, Father, again, we want to thank you for the blessing that we are in the midst of this morning. We thank you for the blessing of bringing both Ted and Bev here with us. We thank you for the word that you put on his heart. Holy Spirit, again, we just thank you that you move in him and have been moving. And as he shares this morning, I know that he's just yielded his heart to you, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to you this morning to receive what you have for us. We want you to be glorified in all that is said is done. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I was blessed this morning. Thank you. Hearing all the songs and stuff that reminded me of my earlier days. And they were right on spot with what God gave me to talk to you about and to share with you. So that I am really blessed with. Today I want to talk to you about drawing near. And that was a phrase in the third last song, I think it was. I can't remember the name of the song right now, but when I heard it, that took me back to my early days in Christ and remembering what that song meant to me then and how it means to me now. Okay, so I'm just going to read this. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. He's praying about his disciples, but also for the disciples that would believe through their word and through the ages, and here we stand. So he's praying for us. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Isn't that amazing? This is what Jesus prayed for. Do you believe that the Father answers his prayers? If anyone's, he would be answering his prayers. And they work together to make that happen. And it has happened. It has happened through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And in that, God declared us all righteous. Right? So we have this legal standing where God right now only relates to us through his righteousness. And he has put us in Christ so that we can enjoy the inheritance that Jesus won through the work that he had completed. Right? You notice that there's nothing in there about what you did. There's only one response that we can have is accept his love and his gift and believe him. That's our part. Drawing near. We were created to be intimately joined to God. That was Jesus' prayer. In fact, we can't be normal if that connection is lost. And we can all attest to this. I can attest to this. I can attest to years of it coming on and off of me where I feel totally disconnected. Don't know where he is and what he's doing with me. Those are dark days. But that didn't change the fact that through Jesus Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God through him. In this fast-paced world filled with distractions, we often feel distant from God, but we know that that can't be real. Because we are in him, we are joined to him. And where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, we are there too. We just kind of forget that from time to time. And we go into other ways of thinking. And we will, in those thinkings of that, we are distracted. And we lose our connection. That does not mean God withdrew. He's still there. He's still in our hearts. He's still working in us. He's still loving us. And he is still declaring to us, I have provided all things for you in Christ Jesus. The whole value of the riches that are in the kingdom of God are already ours. We just got to remember. And how do we remember? We draw near to him. So I'm not going to talk about a bunch of different things to do, because doing things doesn't make God come to us. But when we draw near to him, we reconnect to him who is already near us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us destitute. What I want to talk about is recognizing the deep, deep longing inside us. Sometimes we don't understand why we are really what we're really longing for. When we're in the middle of it, we think it's a problem that we need to overcome. But the reality is the problem has been overcome in Christ. I just need to remember that, so that I can walk that same victory in it. I need to remember him so that he can lead me through it and bring me into the victory that he has in my own experience. Psalm 42 talks about this longing. As the deer pants for the water brooks, I guess I should be putting something forward here. Oh, that's backwards. There we go. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I go to him? That's the question. The Passion Translation puts it this way: I long to drink of you, O God, to drink deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. We have this longing to be face to face with him. And it's our choice, because he's already there wanting to be face to face with us. And no matter what God has given to us, and he's given it to us freely, there's nothing on our part to do. It doesn't benefit us a bit until we experience it in him. So our connection with God, our communion with him, our time that we spend with him, and the love that we feel as we are wrapping our lives around him is something that is never taken away from us. It is not something that we have to earn back when we find our times distant from him. But it is something that doesn't really mean anything unless we are experiencing it. deep in our hearts, letting it shape us, mold us. Psalm 38, I'm going to get the right button again. No, that was the Passion. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All the time, yes. Taste and see. God keeps talking to us about coming to Him, tasting Him, seeing Him, experiencing Him. And what we experience is His goodness, that He is good. See, a lot of people nowadays in grace movements and things are saying things like, God loves you, that's all you need. And it's true, it's very important to know that He loves us. But that is not the whole counsel of God. Because He talks to us, He tells us that He loves us. He demonstrated it to us in Jesus. But He wants that intimacy. And we are the ones that choose to be intimate with Him. Because He's already there. He's longing for us to be intimate with Him. So He's done all this so that we can become intimate with Him. Proverbs 27:5 says this, open rebuke is better than secret love. Secret love could also be translated as love that is carefully concealed. So, if we love God, it doesn't help us to hide it. See, God does not hold back His love from us. He doesn't just hold it in His heart in secret, and then we're trying to find it. Right? I do that sometimes, especially when I'm depressed. Right? Because I think He's pulled it away. Reality is, I pulled away. So we need to be real with ourselves and understand when things are not going the way the way God says it should be, we're the ones that makes the choice of making a change in that. So secret love is never fully expressed. Therefore, it is never fully experienced because it's hidden. It's not exchanged. See, love is a reciprocal relationship. It's a relationship of giving and taking from each other. We're giving, God's giving to us, and we're receiving from Him. And then we love Him back, and He receives joy from that. Okay. 1 John 4:10 says, this is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that they've done to our relationship with Him. See, God's relational. He does just things. He does legal things. He creates legal places for us to trust Him in. But He is relational. The legal things only give us the peace to relate. We need to know this in our hearts so that we are not afraid to come to Him. Because a lot of times it's our fear. We're afraid because we think we did something wrong that made Him pull away from us. And we've got to fix that so that He will come back to us. It's just our emotions responding to how we are thinking about ourselves and thinking about Him that make us feel that way. But it's not the reality, right? 1 John 4:17-19. Love has been perfected among us in this. This is how it's perfected in us. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we're not going to be like this in the kingdom. That's going to be the first time we get to experience this goodness of God. Right now, we just got to suffer through it until we get there. That's not it. He's telling us right now we can experience all the goodness of God. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love, perfect love, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loves us. And we rest in that, right? See, torment is not the product of love. Torment is the product of fear. When we feel torment, and torment can be as simple as God has left me, and we go through the depression of what did I do wrong? Why is it brass? See, we're going to find we'll always be in a situation where we choose whether we want to experience closeness and intimacy with God or not. Whether we want to connect with him in ways that are going to relieve this longing that we feel. It's not automatic. The magic wand of God waved over us and now everything is perfect. We're in a fallen world. That's the one thing that is not like heaven. We're still in this fallen world. Things happen. People make choices and hurt each other. And in those, we begin to feel this disconnection. Instead of going to God and intimately talking with him about where we're at, because he knows. Stop hiding it. He already knows. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep. So it's deep within us where the calling is coming from. Whether it is God wooing us or we are feeling a compulsion to draw near to him, it doesn't matter. But it's there, and it's calling for our response. This is where God is reaching out to me, to you. Let's have a relationship. Let's be intimate. Let me heal your hurts. Let me give you joy. Let me fulfill your dreams. It's in his presence that we learn how to do that, how to receive it, how to surrender to it. He said he came to give us life and life abundantly. And when we don't experience it, what do we ask? What's happening? Why isn't it always with me? It's my heart's response. John 17:3, I don't know if I had that on there. Nope. Okay. John 17:3, and this is life. Okay, listen, this is life. That you may know, and that word know means to experience deep within God the Father and Jesus his Son whom he has sent. This is life, knowing them. 2 Peter 1:3 says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of Him, experiencing Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. See, He's calling us. We respond. So even though God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all this has been legally given to us. He has made the contract. The terms were met. And the truth is, it is now legally ours. And there's nothing stopping you except responding to Him who wants us to learn how to walk in it and experience it in our daily life and with others. So I'm not talking about we've got to figure out a faith formula to make this work. I'm not talking about that. Faith is involved. But what do we have our faith in? Do we have our faith in the promises themselves? Is that what we're after? So now we got to figure out how to get them. Right? I noticed in what I just said, God isn't involved. It's a relationship. See, we don't have to earn it. We need to respond to it. And in responding to it, we lay hold of His promise as He is showing us what it looks like for us. How I need to walk it out in this moment in my circumstances. And it may not change the circumstances, but it definitely is going to change my perspective. Right? And in that, His glory is being revealed. So there's this word where I get this drawing near from that comes out of Leviticus, of all places, because when we think of Leviticus, we think of law, and we think about, I have to do these things to make everything happen. That's not what I want to get out of this, because we're in a new covenant. And now we look at the old covenant as types and shadows that explain to us spiritual realities. Okay? The spiritual realities that Jesus paid the price for and bound the legal contract. And the terms have been met. So no longer do we need to meet terms. We need to respond and accept. So this word that I want to talk about here is, I'm going to just show you the slide. There's two words there, but the first word is korban. Korban is a Hebrew word for sacrifices. So in Leviticus, it's used extensively in there about all these different sacrifices that the Israelites were asked to do in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, we can learn from what God was trying to teach them in those things. And He intended sacrifices not for Him. Because He does tell us through one of the prophets, I don't care about sacrifices. It doesn't do anything for me. I already am who I am to you. But I gave this sacrifice process for you to connect to me. Because that's been His heart all along. To connect with His people. So korban means to give. Korban, which means to be close, to be related, to draw near. So it was a sacrifice for them to, in their heart, draw near to God. They weren't trying to get God to draw near to them. That's not what that sacrifice did. God was already there. was already with them in the temple. But now they were giving to him. And there's an interesting thing about giving to him. When you give a gift to someone, it's not drawing them to you. It's drawing you to them. It's connecting you in your relationship to them when you give gifts. So this gift they were giving God drew them to him. So it's referred to in Leviticus, when you translate it in concept, as a drawing near offering. Me drawing near to him. There's a second word that's there, natan. Natan means to give. This word is a palindrome. Do you know what a palindrome is? That's right. The spelling, if you read it in either way, front or back, it's exactly the same word, palindrome. So you can see that in natan, N-A-T-A-N. If I call from the backside, N-A-T-A-N. No matter which way you look at it, it's natan. Okay? A palindrome in the Hebrew thinking refers to a continuum. So the word means to give, but the continuum of giving is giving and receiving. Somewhere in the giving, receiving happens. And it can go either way. In the receiving, something happens and creates giving in us. It's something how we're wired. God knows how he wired us, so he knows what helps us connect. Okay? So this is a statement that Natan Korban can mean. My willingness and capacity to give is actually what creates my willingness and capacity to receive. So when I respond to God, I'm responding to his love and giving love back to him as best as I know how. And he doesn't care how good the gift is. Because he doesn't care about the gift itself. He cares about you and what you are doing in your relationship to him. Okay? So loving God is important. Loving God, loving you is very important. And I love because he first loves me. I learn what love really means from him. Because all the love that we've learned in the world doesn't work for him. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for the love that he gives to be given back to him. So anything you do to compel God to do something for you is called dead works. So we're not talking about dead works. We're talking about a love that responds and receives, is open to his wisdom, because he knows what step we need to take today to experience it. So I told you earlier that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:11 tells us that the righteous will live by faith. And that faith is not in things. That faith is in Jesus and what he has accomplished. Believing that he has taken care of every single detail in the contract and has upholded it. And is upholding it. So it's not up to us to make the contract work. It's up to us to believe that the contract is working in us.